Welcome to the Make That Money Honey podcast. I'm your host, Sandra Joe, and I'm a financial coach and entrepreneur who is passionate about educating millennials on how to manage their finances in a way that helps them build the life of their dreams, both personally and professionally. After working as a certified financial planner with high net worth clients, I realized that there was a younger generation of wealth builders who were in desperate need of financial support as they grew their businesses, their incomes, and their future. In 2020, I created my coaching business to provide affordable financial education to ambitious women and couples of all backgrounds. So let's dive in, but before we do so, don't forget to click download and be sure to check out previous episodes for lots of juicy interviews and free learning. Welcome back for another episode of the Make That Money Honey podcast. Boy, it's been a while since I have recorded an episode for you, and this is the first one of 2024, which I'm so excited about because I just got back from spending a couple of weeks in Australia, and while I was away, I had some epic conversations with other entrepreneurs who are at all different stages of their business cycle. And it gave me some inspiration to record today's episode about how entrepreneurs can increase their income when they've hit a plateau. It's irrespective of where you're at in your entrepreneurship journey, because some people are just starting out and they might be in the first year of business. Some people might be in their fourth or fifth year and they've reached what was originally their income goal and now they're sort of at a loss for words, or they're stuck and feeling like they don't know what to do next. So that is what today's episode is going to be about. So I encourage you to stick it out to the end, because usually some of my greatest takeaways are at the end of the episode once I kind of get on a roll rambling. So just make sure that you do stick it to the end. And also, if you love this episode, please share it with another entrepreneur, because I know there's a lot of people out there that are feeling this way, that are feeling like they're frustrated because the algorithms on social media are not in their working in their favor anymore, and that their ads are getting lost in all the noise. So this might be something that is helpful to your community. And it also looks good if you're reaching out to other people and sharing some value with them. So thank you in advance. So firstly, one of the most important things to do as an entrepreneur, especially when you're starting out, so in the first 2 years of business, is really diversifying that income. So what does that mean? Don't quit your day job until you've had at least a year of sustainable earnings in your business, because a lot of people get excited. They have their first big income month, they start going, oh my gosh, yes, I can do this. And they get this boost of confidence. They quit their day job and then they don't realize that the hustle continues and it's going to continue for the next few years and your income will be fluctuating massively. So having that backup income stream when you're first starting out is hugely, hugely important. Not only that, but maybe you have other different side hustles, or you've got other ways that you're earning money, such as a rental property, your investments are giving you passive income, whatever it may be. Making sure you really diversify that income, especially in the early stages, is going to be crucial for your success and longevity, because you will have that peace of mind that no matter what happens in your business, you're still able to pay the bills and keep the lights on and pay your rent and put food on the table and things like that. So number one is diversify your income. Number two is start looking at new markets and demographics. So I will use an example of when I started doing this myself. So earlier in 2023, so last year, I hired a public speaking coach and took a program about how to pitch myself as a public speaker, because one of my goals in my business was to have more of an impact on more people's lives than I was able to on a one-on-one basis in my career in financial planning. So how do I do that? How do I reach more people? Well, starting the podcast was one of them, and it really gave me the foundation of learning how to speak candidly and fluidly. But then the next step for me was, how do I get in front of big audiences? So that's getting into a new market where I can then pitch myself as a speaker to corporate clients, to do events or women's retreats and things like that. So this is an example of getting into new markets, getting into new demographics. So rather than working solely with entrepreneurs, maybe I'm starting to speak at public events for corporations. And then all of a sudden I'm tapping into the salaried employee market of people who are earning good money and don't know what to do with it next. And then all of a sudden they see me speaking at a conference and now they become one of my ideal clients because they have the funds and ability to pay for my coaching services. So that's an example. Another example would be for like a personal trainer if they start nutrition coaching. So let's say you're sick of doing just one-on-one personal training clients. You're like, how can I start leveraging my time and creating more income online so that I don't have to work as many hours in the gym? You could start something like nutrition coaching or online programs or something like that. So there's a couple of ideas for you. So number two is entering new markets and demographics. Number three is a really important one that I learned recently from a course that I took and a book that I read from Alex Hormozi, which if you don't follow him and his wife Layla on Instagram, I sincerely hope that you do, because from a sales perspective, they have some really affordable, interesting books and I've learned a lot about sales from them. So entering into different pricing tiers. So having pricing that appeals to multiple different budgets is hugely important for people that resonate with your content, especially if you're putting yourself out there and you're creating all this different useful informational value. Not everybody can necessarily afford your high ticket program. So how are some other ways that they can work with you? Maybe it's a free podcast, maybe it's a virtual course that's like $50 or less, or an ebook for $20, or you've got a group coaching program, or some sort of middle ground, then you've got your high ticket. So ideally, you want to have at least three different options for ways that people can work with you, plus potentially a free option, whether it be social media, a podcast, or something like that, where they can just get tons of value. And in this instance, when you're giving free value like a podcast, you're giving them the what, not the how. And then to work with you is the how. So that was something that was one of my key takeaways from one of the elite mastermind trainings that I did recently with my business coach, was giving them what they need to know, but not teaching them how to do it for free. And then teaching them how to do it is where you charge money. So that's something to consider as well. So the number three is having pricing that appeals to multiple different budgets. Number four is improving your marketing. How much time are you investing into marketing? Are you making it a priority? What are the different kinds of marketing strategies that have worked for you in the past? What's not working? Are you spending tons of time and energy on something that is just not converting? And maybe you're not spending enough energy on things that are converting. So I know in my business particularly, one of the things that was not converting for me was my podcast. So I gave it a bit of a break in 2023, and that's why I haven't recorded an episode in a while, because from a time and resource perspective and booking interviews, doing the research on the person before I was doing an interview, and all of the time and production that's involved in running a professional podcast was really not converting to sales for me. One of the main things that was converting to sales for me was more networking and personal connections with people that were in my target demographic of my client base. So what that means is spending more time communicating and providing value and showing up in other people's events or in their space, giving free value to their audience, and then receiving client referrals by direct word of mouth or free advertising by doing things like showing up to a client event and providing value for an accounting firm's audience. And an accounting firm's audience is obviously in my ideal client, because they're coming for tax advice, but then they also need financial strategy and planning advice. So that's when they would come to me to work with me. So doing things that are maybe not necessarily your traditional marketing strategies, and then also the frequency that you're doing these things. So having lots of irons in the fire, not just like trying one thing and being like, oh, that didn't work. Okay, now I'm just going to go back to my old ways. But trying new things, showing up consistently for a long period of time to get that momentum, and also improving the quality of the information that you're delivering. So not just stock standard, generic, ChatGPT, anyone can create this value. It's like, what is the content that is specific to you? What is your unique selling proposition? Why should somebody pick you over all the hundreds of other people out there that are similar or doing something that is in your field? So that one, number four, was improving your marketing, both frequency and quality, and also trying new marketing streams. The next one, which is one of my personal favorites, is asking for testimonials from your existing clients. Now, if you're showing up authentically and you're delivering tons of value and your clients are loving their experience, they will most likely write you a testimonial, especially if you give them some direction. Because I know that when I wrote my first testimonial, I was like, I have no idea what to say. But if they gave me dot points, like, where were you before you started working with me? What did you learn during our program? And where are you now? And how do you feel about the future? Something like that. Those are just four easy prompts that you can send to your existing clients and be like, hey, I know we've had some amazing progress together. My business is largely based on word of mouth and, client results and things like that. So would you mind writing me a testimonial so that other people out there who are looking for a similar experience to you can understand that there are people out there that I've already worked with and gotten amazing results for? And it goes a long way for not only your social media and marketing posts, but also you can use it on your website. I personally ask my clients if they're comfortable sharing a photo with me, because I think a photo adds a really personalized touch to a testimonial. Now, so far, all of my clients have been comfortable sending a photo. They've given me, I ask them for lifestyle photos, like something that is them. It doesn't have to be a professional photo. It could be like them climbing a mountain or going for a hike or doing something they love, whatever it is, just a favorite photo of theirs, and they all love it. So that's another one, is asking for client testimonials, getting them to use genuine words and not curating their testimonial for them. I think it's really important to have authentic testimonials of their own experience, not something that you've drafted and put their name and whatever beside. Okay, so testimonials is number five. Number six is increasing your client or customer retention. So maybe if you had a Shopify store, for example, you are sending an email with a distinct code for people that have bought from your store before, and you're saying, we value your sales, so here's a 25% off spring sale promo code, for example. You could also, if you're in more of a service-based industry, you could have some sort of a continuation program. So maybe they meet with you 3 to 5 times a year for X number of dollars, or if they want to meet with you once a year, something like that. You could also provide different ways for them to achieve their own financial goals. So I know that for my clients, for example, if they refer me one of their friends, they get 2 additional free sessions with me. So those sessions are highly valuable. And especially once they've finished their program, they get 2 free sessions just for referring somebody that they know. And obviously, if it's an existing client and they've had a good experience, they're going to give you such a raving review to the people that it will be kind of a no-brainer for the people that they've referred to sign up. So it's a win-win for everybody. Another one that is hugely important that I have been spending a lot of time on lately is knowing your competition. So this is number 7. So number 6 was increase your customer and client retention. Number 7 is knowing your competition. who else is doing something similar to what you're doing? What are they charging? What are their offerings? How often are they showing up on social media or other platforms? What are they doing that's getting them results? And particularly if they have way higher numbers than you. So if they've got 500,000 or a million followers on Instagram and you're starting out and you've got like 1,200 or 1,500 followers, like what are they doing? And using them as a free learning tool of all the different kinds of things that you can implement in your business. It's not copycat. It's obviously following a system that has worked for them to build their business, to build their audience to where they're at. And then you can offer lower cost or more affordable or maybe better services than what they're doing, but following their strategy so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel and that you know what other people in your industry are doing. So that is number 7, knowing your competition, be better and be more affordable. Number 8 is investing in technology and automation. This is going to become hugely, hugely important as you grow your business. So at the beginning, you're going to be doing everything yourself and you maybe can't afford to invest in better technology or more systems or more apps or things like that. But as you grow and your time becomes more precious, investing in technology and automation to reduce the number of hours you need to spend doing monotonous tasks like accounting or invoicing or Calendly booking links or anything like that. You can automate the heck out of your business. There are so many different programs. If you don't know, be like, okay, I hate invoicing. What are the best invoicing systems for hairdressers? Google it. Then you'll get a bunch of reviews. Then you'll find out how can you book more clients where you don't have to physically be messaging each one of them and telling them and waiting for them to get back to you and doing follow-ups. You just send them the link and they go directly to your calendar. They pay to book or they leave a deposit. Then they get their invoice directly emailed to them once they've paid. All of these things are going to be reducing the number of time you spend online, reducing the number of hours that you're spending on administrative, low-value tasks in your business. But by doing those low-value tasks, the automation will give you more time to do high-value, income-producing activities like more haircuts, like more colorings, whatever it is that your business is in. So that is number 8, investing in technology and automation. Number 9, which is my personal favorite, and also an area where a lot of entrepreneurs go wrong, is investing in personal development and growth. So what are your weaknesses in your business? What are your skill set weaknesses? What are things that you can improve on, whether it be sales, whether it be learning how to use technology, whether it be public speaking or something else? Is there an area that you know is holding you back in your business that you can pay somebody to teach you how to do more efficiently, faster, cheaper, with more execution, better execution and results, so that you are essentially reducing the time that it takes you to learn this by trial and error? So, for example, when I did my public speaking course, I learned from people who have already done it, who have made the mistakes, who have invested thousands and thousands of dollars in their own events and figured out the recipe or the formula for running a successful event so that I don't have to go and fiddle around and try it all myself and lose a ton of money. Instead, I pay somebody to teach me everything they know about hosting an event and executing the event and getting their clients results, instead of wasting hours and hours and hours of my life on trying to figure things out myself, which I did in the first 2 years of my business. And I honestly hit burnout so many times because I was getting so frustrated that my ideas weren't working that I was finally like, okay, I'm just gonna pay the $5,000 or $10,000, pay somebody to teach me how to do it properly. And then that way, when I go and try it, I know that it's going to be successful the first try rather than just farting around and not knowing what I'm doing. So investing in personal development and growth is huge for your success. Now, the caveat is not investing so much that you are then digging yourself into a financial hole because you're not retaining enough of your earnings to fund your actual business processes. So we need to have working capital in our business to be able to do things like Facebook ads or paying our assistant or paying for all of our subscriptions and platforms and blah, blah, blah. So if you're spending 100% of your income on personal development because you think that that's going to be the thing that moves the needle the most in your business, you're then shooting yourself in your foot by not having enough of a cash savings buffer for that working capital to keep your business afloat while you're learning and trying these new things. So I heard from one of my biggest mentors in one of his masterminds that setting yourself an annual budget of a percentage of your gross sales as sort of a budget for how much you want to spend on personal development. So for example, if you make $100,000 a year and you budget 10% of your gross earnings, you would be budgeting $10,000 a year for personal development. Now, as your business grows, you may not need to invest as much in personal development. And in the early stages of your career, you might need to invest a little bit more. But not putting all your eggs in one basket with personal development, because we can continuously learn and teach ourselves, and there is so much free information out there that using a combination of your own research and paying a professional to teach you in the areas that you might be a little weak in. So in my clients' cases, they know that they need to learn more about their finances. They need to learn how to budget better. They need to do cash flow projections and pricing strategies and cash flow management when it comes to their business versus their personal, learning how much they can put into investments. All of these different things that we work on together, which they've maybe ignored because they've been putting all of their energy into their business before. So then we start to expand our knowledge by working with these professionals, but just making sure that when you are paying a professional to teach you something, that you're then going away and actioning it and trying it yourself, rather than just constantly paying people to teach you something and not actually doing anything about it. That is a very, very common mistake that I see with a lot of new entrepreneurs, is they keep investing more and more and more money into personal development, and then they don't actually do anything with it. So if you're going to spend the money, go away and try it after, see what works for you, see what doesn't, make adjustments, and then move forward based on those results. And last but not least, number 10 is being frugal in your spending in the early days. So just because you've got income coming in doesn't mean it's going to last forever. Being mindful of how much you spend in the first 4 years of business on things like marketing, Facebook ads, personal development, all the different expenses, all the different subscriptions and everything that you have. Just be mindful, like ask yourself, is this really a necessity, or am I getting excited and spending way beyond my income level? Because you should be saving a certain percentage of your income for things like tax, for things like fluctuation in income, all of those things that are not as sexy to plan for. We still need to plan for them. So just being mindful of your spending in the early days, and make sure that when you are investing in anything, even if it's just an online subscription, that you're asking yourself, is this really essential? And cutting back on anything that's a no. So number 10 is being frugal with your spending in the early days of business, so that you know you always have that emergency cash buffer from your income to be able to use as working capital as you go on, and that you're only investing in the absolute necessities until you've got more flexibility in your income. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. It's so exciting to be back online and to be talking about entrepreneurship. So if this resonated with you, please feel free to share with another entrepreneur in your community, and I would be so appreciative. Thanks for listening. If you love this episode, please feel free to share it with a friend or leave me a 5-star review. I will be forever grateful so that I can reach more ambitious people like you. You can connect with me on Instagram at makethatmoney.honey, or find ways that we can work together to help you create lasting financial freedom and security at www.sandrajoe.com. And until next time, go make that money, honey.